Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, product owners all over this great big world, including the people who listened last season from Singapore. Welcome back to season 5 of Delivered. This is your Agile Product Owners Podcast. My name continues to be Corey Bryan, and we're ready to kick off another season. Lots have been going on in the last couple of months. I've changed jobs again. More on that later. I've forgotten and feel like I've forgotten a lot that I knew. So I'm actually referring back to a lot of things, looking up a lot of things. I don't know if it's a sign of maturity or a sign of senility. I don't know yet. But in any event, I am happy to be back talking about product ownership with you all. We are lining up some really good guests this season, talking about some topics, some of the ones I'm surprised we haven't talked about. So lots of good content and lots of good things coming your way. And lots of really good things have been released over the last couple months for to read and for to watch and for to listen to. We'll talk about a couple of them as we go. One thing that's a big note that I want everybody to be aware of is Bob Galen, friend of the show and all-around good guy, has finally released his third edition of the Product Ownership book. That is out now. You can get it on LeanPub. We'll have a link to the show. And coming soon, I believe this month, it will be in a paper version that you can get on Amazon. So look forward to reading that. I've read it. I contributed some stories and highly recommend Bob's third edition that's been updated. We talked to Bob about the third edition on episode 64 back in October of 2017 when he was still going through writing the process. So now he's finished and it is now available. And remember, in this edition, he talks a lot about scaling. He goes through a lot of different frameworks on scaling. He goes through some UX and design ideas. He talks a lot about technical architecture, DevOps, lots of things around product ownership that we should be aware of and support and understand so that our products, our customers, and our users can all be better. And because Bob is awesome, he's given a coupon for the first 100 listeners who redeem it for a free copy on LeanPub of the book. To claim it, to be one of those first 100, all you need to do is go to https://tinyurl.com/, and here's the key, BobGPO3. tinyurl.com/BobGPO3. That will get you a free copy of the LeanPub edition of the third version of his Scrum Product Ownership book. You can, of course, make a donation or pay what you like, but Bob is great and decided to give away free copies. So we'll have a link to his post detailing that and look for that coming to Amazon as a paper edition soon. And please get that too, so you can pass it around. Have one for you and one for a friend or teammate. Another thing that I really struck home with me the last couple of months was an article from Justin Bauer, who's the VP of product over at Amplitude, who talks about we're evolving our product's North Star metric, and here's why. Amplitude is another company that does metrics and analytics for product people. And the North Star metric is one that's really intriguing. It's one of those one metrics that matters. It's a way to have a product-led key measure of success. There's a really good link to another article that talks about what a North Star metric actually is. And really, in this article, he's talking about how it's evolved over the last couple of years at Amplitude, what it started at, what it's gone through, and where it's at now. It's a really good history of how it's evolved, how the product thinking has evolved in that company, and really helps to understand the relationships between their users and their product. Really key, especially for an analytics company to do. I think it's true of any company should be able to understand that, but especially in analytics companies. Really good examples and really good openness from the company about how they do that. So I really like that discussion. I really like his sense, and it's a really good example to see. They do talk about, or he does talk about identifying some leading indicators for the metrics that they want to chase or the metrics they want to pay attention to. And they do give three really good examples. So I highly recommend reading through the North Star metric guide from Amplitude.
No doubt that this magnificent vessel will give excellent value for the dollars she'll be earning.
So today on the show, we're going to talk about the idea funnel. And a good number of the products and teams that I've worked with, there's been an overwhelming number of requests and ideas that need to be worked through. They can come from a lot of different places, and wrangling all those ideas, mainly from outside the team and also sometimes from the team themselves, can be difficult most of the time. This is also something I've heard from listeners that they struggle with as well, how to deal with unlimited opportunities when having limited resources. Or better stated, I think, is how can we do the most important work with the people we have? We've talked about several topics similar to this on episode 48 about priorities and episode 31 about Kanban. It's also something we mentioned as the first law of software economics from Rich Mironoff. Your development team will never, ever, ever be big enough. So outside all those things, how do you actually put together a workflow to view, think about, and then work on the best possible items? The notion of an idea funnel is what I and others have been using with some success. This isn't a perfect process. There's no such thing. So it might work when you don't have anything in place yet to evaluate ideas and decide with your teams. Let's talk about the visualization of this. Important to think of this as a funnel on its side. Big opening on the left, and as you move to the right, shrinking in size. Lots of things in the input, few things make it through. That's important to reiterate. Not everything that enters this funnel will make it out. There's a few steps to get from beginning to end, and the part we'll talk about today is just to get to the point where you know what problem you want to solve and the team starts building it. In most cases that I've set this up, it took 3 or 4 steps to get there. Each step has different criteria that it has to pass, and the goal of each step is to make it easy to kick something out of the funnel. It should be hard to move an idea from one step to the next. I go as far to say the default position and answer is no. This helps cut down on the items that you are talking about and forces a focus on the most important ones. The criteria for each step is up to you, and I'll go through some examples I've used before. The first step, it's going to be the slice with the most items. This can be called a funnel, idea, or some variant. Customer quest, marketing, sales, executives are the majority of these requests, and they can vary from huge asks to one-off bugs. This process is best run focusing on the bigger items and not the individual bugs. You may need a way to handle those also. For this, let's focus on the big ticket items. The goal with this part of the funnel is to be able to quickly sift through these items frequently and find the ones that mean the most to our products and customers. Looking at the ideas here is something I've done on a weekly basis as a group, or depending on where you are in your efforts, more or less frequent. This should be something that in 5 minutes or less, you could understand what either is being asked for or what problem they seem to have. Establishing some objective criteria to kill things here is critical. Some criteria I've used before are, which strategic product goal does this align with? If it doesn't, then we should say no. What's the potential or stated revenue or cost savings with this idea? If it's less than a specific threshold, say $50,000, then we should say no. What market, customer segment, or persona would be affected by this idea? One that already exists? Great. One that we don't serve or have decided previously not to serve? Then it gets killed. This should be relatively easy to draw from the ask or with a quick conversation. If the people submitting ideas can't provide this basic information, then is it really worth doing? To be clear, you're not asking them to spec out everything that they're asking for. This isn't waterfall. Just give us the high-level issues, problems, concerns, so that we can move it along if possible. The next step is where we start to do a bit more reviewing or exploration of the ask and see if there's any good opportunities for us to drill into. Most times I've called it exactly that, review, exploration, or maybe evaluation. At this point, I like to see about creating a simple lean canvas or maybe even a pragmatic marketing position statement with the person who created the idea to expand on the concept. If we start digging in, can't find enough information or alignment to our strategy or our goals, then we should reject it. Maybe the step takes a week or two to work through. I've sat with people who submitted ideas that got to this point and sketched out a canvas in 15 minutes or so that was good enough to discuss with a larger audience. The next step is where some work actually takes place. This is where the team starts to get involved and validate some of the ideas, the hypothesis that has been created, and some possible solutions for the problem. At this point, it's also a good idea to determine what success looks like for this idea. What metric are we trying to move, and by when? The team, or in some instances, some members of the team, will work on helping come up with options. Maybe some rough sketches or something else that you can put in front of a customer or user. If there's good discussion with them and an apparent fit, then moving forward seems ideal. Impact maps, customer journey maps, opportunity solution trees are some things that you can use here to determine which part to try. Also good at this point is to identify the dependencies the team might have, some technology, training, skills, or other people constraints on getting the work done. If the dependency mapping starts to look ugly, then you know there's a good deal of risk involved and can start to address it. The team can also discuss if we've done something like this in the past and a rough size or scale of the effort. This is where I like to use t-shirt sizing for chunks of quarters, things like 3, 6, or 12 months. Just a guess, and it may be useful to have that. If not, then just focus on the value that's desired. If the work is bigger than a quarter, then to me, that's too big. The next steps take that larger effort and slice off something that you want to accomplish in the next 90 days. The rest of the idea that you split still might be valuable, and you'll know more after the initial delivery. If it's not valuable, then you haven't wasted much thought, effort, or set expectations about something that's not working. At this point as well, you might try doing some scoring or weighting to try to differentiate some of the ideas. Having a system where you evaluate an idea, say on cost or revenue. Take a look at your past ideas, how much revenue they added to the company, or how much something saved by changing part of the product. You could have a scale of 1 to 5 with defined levels. A 1 could be $20,000 and a 5 could be $5 million with points in between. The problem I see many people have when doing this is they want everything to be a 5 or they try to game the system. The top value should be very hard to get, maybe impossible without a lot of change. You should try to calculate your ranges so most of the ranges fall in the middle and make sure it's shared and agreed to by everybody. The teams then can understand how or why, on a money side, an idea is important, and the sales and stakeholders can see this as compared to the other items that you're discussing. Teresa Torres has a key counterpoint to this strategy, which is to make sure you're not ranking solutions, only opportunities, problems, or ideas. If you find yourself doing this with a list of already provided requests, features, or plans, stop here and reframe the ideas. Instead of build this thing for this customer, see if you can frame it as this customer has this problem. Instead of Acme Corp asks for a monthly data export, try Acme Corp wants to update their sales guidance regularly. Sometimes an extra step is needed to get things ready to start building. I frequently call this step the backlog step, and that's where you get to start to build the story maps and the team understands and agrees the ideas. They understand it enough, again, a good target may be 70 to 80%. To get started, and they have a clear goal that they are trying to hit. You've explored options with them, and as soon as they can start, when they have space, then they can begin. After that, you're likely into the current delivering process of teams working and finishing stories and iterations and adding value every sprint. If the slice of the idea that you're working on is something for 90 days, then incrementally, your deliveries are showing progress towards that. I do like to visualize this as a Kanban board for everyone to see, stakeholders, teams, and customers if possible. That way the openness and progress of something is clear to everyone. Putting limits on how many items can be at each step is possible, and it helps make sure nothing sits in a column for months without being acted upon. Your cumulative flow diagrams can help show the lead time that this process acts on. Ideally, you're not more than 90 days from starting the next highest priority item. If you are, then you have some interesting data to talk with people about. This also hopefully highlights where the queues and wait states are in your flow and work to eliminate them. And to be clear, it would be nice not to need this. I worked a few products in places where this was unnecessary. If you need something like this, especially in orgs that are in transition, then it can help show all of the requests and why you can't possibly do all of them. Laying that out for others and showing how that works can help. The idea funnel is one of the ways that you can work towards better. And better is what we are constantly moving towards. What I also like to suggest is there's no wrong way to do this process. Whatever steps, criteria, and success looks like for you, we'll let you tailor this for your company and product. I have some really good links from Ash Murrah and C Prime, as well as Teresa's article in the show notes. If you are getting value from the show, please do subscribe, share with friends, and let me know what connects with you. For any feedback or questions about product ownership, you can contact the show on Twitter at DeliverateCast or email us at DeliverateCast@gmail.com. A couple questioners from listeners that have come in. Nicole asked, I was wondering if your product owners come with a goal for the sprint, or does the team actually decide together? I know the product owner should at least have an objective. Okay, where does the goal come in? I think we did talk about this in one of the episodes. My default stance is a product owner should come to the team with a goal for the sprint and then be flexible if that goal seems out of whack or the team can talk to them about why there should be a different goal. I think you should at least have a starting point with your teams, and especially if there's a longer piece of work that you're working on that's going to go over a couple sprints, having goals set for each of those sprints kind of helps you show progress or at least focus on what you're doing each sprint. So come with and then be open to changing. Then Ivan asks, as a product owner, what data analysis tools do you recommend me to focus on? Data analysis tool. Okay, are we talking just garden variety data analysis? Are we talking product analysis? There's all kinds of tools out there that do various things. There's lots of tools that do specific product analysis. We mentioned Amplitude, Pendo, Kissmetrics, Google Analytics, I think, does others. There's lots of tools that you can use out there to measure products. Data analytics, again, there's lots of free tools out there. There's lots of pay tools you can use to do business intelligence and other types of things. You know, Excel is always a good place to start with. It depends on what you want to do. There's all kinds of free products out there and all kinds of pay products out there. So it really depends on what you're looking for. I didn't see that. So Ivan, if you want to chime in and say specifically what you're trying to look for, or if you, dear listener, have a favorite analytics tool that you use for data or for anything else, let me know. And that'll about do it for our first episode coming back for season 5. Same schedule, same plan this year. Nothing too drastic of a change different. Still get some interviews in, still get some good topics in. And if you have ideas or you have other show suggestions, things that you want to hear about, do send in information. Or again, one thing I always like to do is talk to product owners just about how you work. We've had a good number of people. I think we've had 3 or 4 on in the past. And if you want to join and talk about your experience with product ownership, would love to have you on and have a really good conversation with you to share your experience. For a free copy on LeanPub, Bob Galen, 3rd edition of the Product Ownership book. To be one of those first 100, all you need to do is go to tinyurl.com/BobGPO3. And if you are in need of one-to-one coaching or consulting to help you find your product owner balance, you can check out seektaijun.com. All opinions expressed here are mine. You can find more of them at is Corey Bryan on Twitter. That is episode 83 delivered. Go out and own the outcome. Show is part of the Agile Podcast Network. For more shows and information, visit agilepodcastnetwork.com.